Pittsburgh Section, National Council of Jewish Women, Oral History, Number 2. This is Harold Kimball and Ann Fagan interviewing Julian Hast on November 22, 1985, at his home at 5100 Fifth Avenue, Pittsburgh, PA. Now, Julian, will you give us your name and address, please?
Julian Hast, 5100 Fifth Avenue, Pittsburgh, 15232.
So, we would like to begin with talking about your birth, where and when, and your parents or grandparents. In other words, this section is about the family. So you can begin as far back as you like and go through your siblings, grandparents, aunts, uncles, and so forth. Well, now it's all yours.
Yeah, well, then I come into where I was born later on.
Yes.
Okay. That part is interesting, too. All right, turn it on and we'll talk about Marcus Hast.
It's on.
My father's father was Marcus Hast, who was the cantor of the Great Synagogue of London. Incidentally, the synagogue was destroyed by the Nazis in the Second World War. He came over from, what's that?
The year that this took place, your grandfather?
I don't know. Well, when he came over?
Yes.
It's in that book.
Okay.
Maybe we better stop and get that year.
Okay, now you run.
According to the Jewish Encyclopedia, he was born in Warsaw in 1840. We think it possible that his family originally came from Germany, since the name Hast is of German origin. And according to Dr. Freehoff, the King of Poland had encouraged migration of German Jews to Poland in the Middle Ages. Can you turn it off for a minute?
No, these long pauses are okay. No hurry. We have lots of tape.
We know nothing about his youth except that he was extremely well educated and musically trained. As a young man, he trained young cantors in Breslau, Germany, both in Hebrew and singing. Many of these young cantors became well known in widely scattered congregations. Presumably, he was already married to his wife Fanny, because according to his golden wedding invitation, their marriage took place in 1856, when they were 16 years old. That was not unusual, you know. He was called in 1872 to the Great Synagogue of London, which was located on Duke Place. Lord Rothschild, who was a member of the congregation until his death, was an enthusiastic backer of Marcus Hast at the time of his first tryout, and continued this feeling throughout his life. Marcus and Fanny were highly respected and loved throughout the community for almost 40 years. The next is a quotation from a book called The Great Synagogue by Cecil Roth. This is the quotation. The election that succeeded Asher's retirement in 1870 was a remarkable one. the Dutch Jewish colony in London, vociferously supported a compatriot from Groningen, a traditional home of sweet singers in Israel. But they did not command many votes, and the choice of the congregation fell on Marcus Haast, already well known on the continent as teacher and composer, who continued that great tradition for nearly 40 years, from 1872 to 1911. Apart from his great vocal qualities and deep piety, he deserved well of his community by reason of his monumental work, Avodah HaKodesh, in which the musical traditions of the great synagogue were set down for all time. Can we stop for a minute?
Yes.
Go ahead,
right off the top of your head.
Any of your recollections from your own experiences related to him would be just wonderful for the tape.
Just the way you said it.
Yeah. On a visit to London,
it's not going.
My wife and I went out to the cemetery where Marcus Haast was buried, and I took a picture of his gravestone. I can show you that later. Right around the corner from his gravestone was the memorial to Lord Rothschild, who had brought him to London.
Oh,
that's interesting.
Yes. Then you want to tell us what happened later, the emigration to this country, right?
Yes.
Okay.
And my father's
right.
All right. Now, Marcus Haast had 4 children, of whom my father was, I believe, the 3rd. And he was educated in the Jews College in London, which is probably a
What was your father's name?
Abraham.
Abraham. Okay.
Abraham Marcus.
Mm-hmm.
You got that?
Yes.
He came to Pittsburgh in the late 1880s. And the reason he came to Pittsburgh, rather than some other city, was that he had a relative here named Ben Jacobs, who lived on Craig Street, and who incidentally named his son Craig. Ever heard of Craig Jacobs?
Mm-hmm.
Ben Jacobs was the brother of his sister's husband. His sister, whose name was Isaiah Jacobs, and who ran a bookstore in London for many years. My father's first job when he came to Pittsburgh was as a He was with the Rosenbaum store, and he was not a salesman.
In the accounting department?
As a bookkeeper.
Bookkeeper, good.
In the old Rosenbaum store, mm-hmm, on Penn Avenue. In 1891, he married my mother, whose maiden name was Stella Bensmeyer. I was born 9 months and 4 days after they were married, and there was a great joke in the family with all the friends. They all wanted to know where Abe was those first 4 days. Is that all right for them?
Sure, that's great. What year was that?
1894.
That's when you were born.
1894. They were married in, I said 1891, correct that to 1893.
And where were you living at that time?
I'm going to come to that. I was born on Sheffield Street in Manchester, which was then Allegheny, in a district where all, or practically all, the German Jews in Pittsburgh lived within a radius of half a mile. The house belonged to my grandmother, Bertha Bensmeyer, my mother's mother. She had as tenants on the first floor Judge Josiah and Carrie Cohn. Ever hear of Josiah?
Certainly did.
Who became my godfather and my sister's godfather, Sister Dorothy. I have to interject a cute story about Carrie Cohn. She had a picture, an old-fashioned picture, called Baby's First Step, a painting, which had in it an old man holding out his arm to the baby, animals, a chicken and a dog and so forth. And she said that that picture was to go to the first Hass child that got married. So I have always claimed that Dorothy put off her wedding so that I would get the picture, because she certainly didn't want it.
Beautiful. Could you tell us a little about that neighborhood? You say the German Jews lived in that section. Who lived in the other vicinity? Can you remember anybody at all in this?
Well, Ridge Avenue.
That's what I mean.
That was Ridge Avenue was near there, and that's where some of the rich steel people lived. Mm-hmm.
The area where community college is now.
Yes.
Besides now.
I can remember walking to the Fifth Ward School when I was a little boy, and hearing the cry, Sheeny, Sheeny, mm-hmm. as I went by.
So that's always existed. Could you tell us about your brothers or sisters, if any, at that period?
Well, my sister Dorothy was born 5 years after I was.
I see.
And when we moved from Allegheny, she was a very little girl. We moved to Squirrel Hill. We were among the first of that district to move to Squirrel Hill. We moved in 1902, I believe. And my parents rented a house on Denison Avenue next to Dr. Levy.
The Rev. Shalom, Dr. Levy.
Yeah. At that time, Rev. Shalom was on 8th Street. And I can remember the Levy's taking me to Sunday school in a carriage down Bigelow Boulevard.
Way down to 8th Street, which is towards downtown Pittsburgh.
That's where the temple is.
Oh. Mm-hmm. And what was the neighborhood like in Squirrel Hill at that time? Was it farmland?
What is now Murdoch Farms was all yes. farms at that time.
Mm-hmm.
Shady Avenue was called Shady Lane.
Mm.
And it was the only thoroughfare down towards East Liberty, and that in Beechwood Boulevard.
Were there many Jews living in this area then?
Not when we first came. They mm-hmm. came later. There was no Squirrel Hill east, what do you call it, east of Forbes, such as there is now.
Mm-hmm. And so you went to Road of Shalom as a child, to Sunday school?
Sunday school,
right.
Yes.
And your parents were Reformed, is that
yes,
correct?
Yes, that's right. In spite of the fact that my father was raised as an Orthodox Jew.
How did that come about then? I mean, would you like to say something about that?
I don't know any, I mean, I don't think it was difficult for him to change.
Mm-hmm.
He'd probably been living in Pittsburgh for a number of years before he got married, and all his friends were members of the temple. Mm-hmm. So it was, became natural that he would
right. Good.
Join also.
Is it that you only had one sister?
That's right.
No brothers?
No.
And you talked about your grandparents. How about aunts and uncles?
My mother had a brother named Ed Benswanger. Mm-hmm. Whose sons were William and Richard. And there was another one too. It's in here. William eventually married Barney Dreyfus's daughter Eleanor and became president of the Pirates for a time.
Good point. Would you like to talk about your education? Did it begin with Sunday school a factor?
Well, I was going to continue with the family.
Okay. Don't want to rush you.
All right. I just want to see if there's any more about... My grandmother, Bertha Benswanger, had come originally from Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Her maiden name was Hess, H-E-S-S. Her mother brought her to New York after the Civil War, and there she met Jacob Benswanger, and I don't know when they were married. Maybe I can find out when he was born.
Okay.
Jacob is his grandfather on his mother's side.
Okay. Wait, start again. Okay.
Jacob Benswanger, my grandfather, was born in Baltimore in 1841. In 1866, he married Bertha Hess of Baton Rouge.
Good.
Their children were Edward, Rena, Stella, my mother, and Elsie. Jacob died in July 1880. They came to Pittsburgh after the Civil War. He'd been in the millinery business and started a millinery business in Pittsburgh that evidently it didn't pan out. So he started selling insurance. After he died, his widow continued the business with the help of his secretary. After my father married my mother, he became a partner of my grandmother's, and the firm name was Benswanger and Hast, which became one of the leading insurance agencies in Pittsburgh. Later, it was known as Benswanger, Hast, and Herzog. Have you ever heard of them?
Yes.
Now, let's see where we were. My grandmother and my wife wrote a beautiful tribute to her. Bertha Benswanger was a charming, energetic, strong-minded woman. She was talented musically and had a nice voice. When she first came to Pittsburgh after her marriage, the change from comparatively high culture in Baton Rouge and New York to a town where mud streets still existed was very difficult for her. She voted for her weekly at-homes in which everybody who was anybody came.
Oh, that's very good.
There was music and singing and good conversation and light refreshments. This was something previously unknown in Pittsburgh Jewish society. Incidentally, we have never known anyone who could entertain a whole room of friends any better or more skillfully than she did. Those at home probably didn't hurt the insurance business either.
I think if you...
Very active in all community work. And she and her closest personal friend of many years, Mrs. Josiah Cohn, were known as the two best snorers in collecting for various organizations. They had another lady that went around with them very often named Rosalia Rao. She was the grandmother of the Raos here.
Yeah, very well-known name.
Noticed that he couldn't be in a town 10 minutes without having the policeman, the newsboy, and the druggist waving goodbye when he left. Others, brother-in-law, Frank Cohn, became the cantor of the great synagogue in Sydney, Australia, his daughter Dulcie once visited us but I don't think I ever met his sons. I don't know.
Still there. Is the family still any relatives in New Zealand or Australia or any of those?
I think that the sons, well, they'd be very old now. I don't know anything about the family.
I see.
I tried to make some inquiries when I was in Sydney, but I didn't meet anyone. I did meet a woman who was in his Sunday school class
wow.
in Sydney,
mm-hmm.
but I don't remember who she was.
Very good.
No, I wanted to say something about my mother.
Okay. Say that again.
Lived to be 96 years old.
Your mother, Stella.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
96?
Yeah. One quality that was apparent to everyone was that she was endowed with a tremendous amount of guts and the ability to thoroughly enjoy life. Even when she was very old and had poor eyesight, along with her chronic deafness, she never gave up going to every possible concert, lecture, or travelogue, never failing to tell everyone how much she had enjoyed them. She had an excellent, if youngish, taste in clothes and always looked very well groomed. Her house on Beechwood Boulevard was attractive. It wouldn't be fair not to mention that her taste in interior decorating was excellent, and we prized very much the little inlaid desk that she bought in England. Period.
Very good. Wait. Right. Okay.
On June 2nd, 1919, I married Eleanor Goldsmith, daughter of Samuel and Clara Goldsmith.
Good. Where? Where did the marriage take place?
At the Goldsmith home on Bartlett Street.
In Pittsburgh. Some of your wife's background?
Oh, yes. Did I say distant? The distant relationship occurred because our great-grandmothers were sisters. Two of our great-grandmothers were sisters,
mm-hmm.
named Binswanger.
Mm-hmm.
One of the, my wife's aunt married Julius Oppenheimer, and one of their sons was the famous Robert Oppenheimer, who was my wife's first cousin.
We're just about to the end. We'll just let it run a second, and then I'll turn the tape.
My children were David, John, and Barbara. Is that the end?
You could say one or two words, like, I'll continue on the other side of this tape.
That's the end of that tape.
Yeah, the reason we have to go to the very end is so that when we turn it, it'll begin from the very beginning.
Okay. You want to know when they were born?
Yes.